Unit 38, that's a 10-1, the TAP 36. Copy, it's 1-4, show us on route, ETA 2 minutes.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Running Code, the podcast where you, the viewer, get to know a little bit about us, the men and women who serve you for the Newport News Police Department. Welcome back, Morgan. How are you doing?
Ciao, Melissa. I am doing extraordinarily well. Thank you so much for asking.
Nice. Yeah. I just want to jump right in here because we've got an absolutely interesting guest with us today. I don't even think I could do you justice. Could you introduce yourself to the folks and tell them who you are?
My name is Misty Mercer. I'm currently employed as a part-time employee of the Newport News Police Department, assigned to the cold case team homicide.
Yes, but you've done a lot of full-time employment for us as well.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about your career, how it started, and kind of the path that it took, if you will.
My whole life, since about the age of 5, I wanted to be a police officer. So when I turned 18, Newport News would hire you then. So I applied to Newport News. They didn't hire me as a police officer. They said I looked about 12. So they offered me a job as a dispatcher. And I was making $9,950 a year. I thought I was the richest 18-year-old in the whole world. So I took that job, and what I learned was what I thought I knew at 18, I didn't know anything at 18. Mm. So it was a blessing that I did that job for 3 years. I grew up in Hampton, so I stayed down there for 3 years. And when I was 21, I reapplied to the police department and got hired and went to the police academy.
Wow. And did you, when you graduated, did you go straight to patrol?
I did. And back then, we didn't have our own academy. We went to the Hampton Roads Regional Academy of Criminal Justice. It was only about 9 weeks long. We went with other jurisdictions, Hampton, Portsmouth, Suffolk, Virginia Beach, Chesapeake, Norfolk had their own academies. So we got a little bits and pieces of generic things, and you came back to your own department and learned what you were supposed to know for Newport News.
Right. And you served in patrol for how long before moving along to another division within our agency?
I stayed in patrol about 4 years and applied for the Detective Bureau, and I went to Vice Narcotics for about 2 years. And on our department, it wasn't a promotion to become a detective. So I did that for about 2 years. We worked all the time. You worked all day, all night, then you went to court all day long. So I went back to patrol for about a year or so. And then I went back to narcotics, street crimes. When I worked,
we worked together.
I worked with you in street crimes. Did that for about a year or so. Put back in for regular investigations and went to property crimes, but before that I got detailed to a shoot team investigation team with assigned to internal affairs. When I completed that, they kept me there, and I worked on an assignment for about 5 months in internal affairs. Then I went to property crimes, did that for 90 days, then I went to special victims, then I went to homicide, and I retired out of homicide in 2005.
Wow. But it didn't stop there, Melissa.
So, wait. I want to add a little bit of context here because it's really important to put this part out there. For those of you watching, this is a policewoman in the 1980s.
Correct.
In the 80s. So what was that like for you? That was a tough time to be a female officer, was it not?
It was. You kind of had to prove yourself a little bit more than a male officer did, but you know, that came with the job, and I relish that. I like that experience. But as y'all know, y'all been here, we're a family, and we tend to lift each other up. Sometimes we tear each other down to build each other back up. But it was just different because, you know, when you go on a call being 5'6" and 130 pounds back then, sometimes people wouldn't take you seriously as a female. And we as females, as you know, you can't fight your way out of everything. So you have to use those other skills, like your verbal skills and talking to people and giving people their time, because that's really what people want. As you know, people never call you on the best day of their life. They don't call 911 and say, hey, I'm having the best day ever. Just want to say, hey. They call you on the worst days of their lives, and they want you to come to their home and fix their problems, but they really don't want you to come to their home and fix their problems. So as a female officer, you have to use other skills to get yourself out of situations safely, and you have to be able to defend yourself and to protect the officers that you're with. So it was just difficult because we were a huge minority. There was probably 20 of us back then. And you just had to do things a little bit differently. Wow. And show that you were capable of doing them just as well as the male officer next to you.
How many years of active duty did you do with the police department?
I did 23, and I've done 19 part-time now, so I've been a total of 42 years. And I was also, you know, one of the first two women on the SWAT team. It's called the TAC team now.
Right.
I was on the honor guard for about 18 years of my career, and I was an instructor of all kinds of different things.
Right, and you also sat on interview boards, because that is how I met you. I met you before I became a police officer. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I sat on your oral review board back in the 80s.
That is correct.
And you had just come from Italy.
You had
your hair slicked back in a ponytail, and
secret's out.
It's that part. Wait, can you say that again? Just in case somebody missed it, because they may have missed what you just said.
He had his hair in a ponytail, but it was neatly. He looked professional, and I will tell you that there were older members on the team, the review panel, that didn't like that, and they didn't want to extend an offer to him. And I was like, well, hey, let's hire him first and see if he's willing to cut it and see what happens. Mm-hmm. And as you know, he's had a very great career.
Absolutely.
And we have talked about it, and I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for you standing up for me, you know, and looking at me as an individual instead of, you know, what my exterior looked like. And I'm forever grateful to you. I think I've told you that many times, that I'm here because of you. And, you know, simply putting it, I was able to feed my family because of you. So that's huge.
Well, I don't know if it's really because of me. You brought the skills. I just opened the door and you walked through it, and you did all the rest
on
your own.
But you opened a door that otherwise could have been closed, Misty. So I don't want to argue with you, but you helped me more than you know. More than you know.
Take this compliment.
So, yeah. Now, let's talk a little bit about kind of what brought you to Newport News. Why not another jurisdiction? Why Newport News?
Well, I grew up in Hampton, but Newport News would hire you at 18. But then once I got onto Newport News, there was no going back. Hampton has a great department. The other agencies have a great department. But we have an extraordinary department that enables you opportunities that other departments you might not see your whole career.
Wow.
Right. This department just opens a lot of doors and allows you to be you and to expand on those skills that you have.
And you never lost that feeling throughout your entire career. You've always kept that love for the agency.
Oh, absolutely. To this day. Yeah. I love this. I could have, when I retired, you know, I'm a polygraph examiner, so I'm the coordinator for the department, and I had other skills, and those people, I could have gone other places and got a full-time job.
Sure.
Right.
But I didn't want to. I wanted to stay here. An opportunity came where I could work part-time for the department and stay here, and I did. And I've never regretted not leaving and working towards a second retirement.
Yeah, and we won on that deal.
We definitely
won on that deal. Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about what you currently do. How do you serve the citizens of Newport News now?
I just got transferred in May to back to homicide. We started the department has started a cold case team. And I'm a nosy person, people tell you that. So
attribute, I would say.
Yes. And so I like working things like that. I like looking at things. So I'm on the cold case team for the department.
Wow. So you are investigating homicides.
Yes. And some of them are, and some of them are my homicides and some of them are not. But they're cases that need attention to them. And, you know, when I was in homicide back in the 90s and 2000s, you know, we worked everything. We worked all the adult sex crimes, all the homicides, all the shootings and stabbings. And they're now to a point where they only work homicides, which is good. So those cases that we had that we weren't able to close back then now get that special attention that all of them deserve.
And you said that some of them were your cases, so your previous cases from when you were full-time. How different is that investigation, I guess, is the best way to put it, because we have a lot of technology today that you did not have available to you when you were a homicide investigator.
Absolutely.
The first time.
And I'm learning stuff today. It's a lot different. DNA has come so far. Mm. You know, DNA was in its infancy when I went to major crimes in the 90s. And now, you know, the genealogy, DNA, just things that you'd have to have a whole lot to examine, now you just have to have a spec to do it. The camera systems we have in the city, we Newport News is leaps and bounds above everybody else around us. We're the ones other jurisdictions come to look at our real crime centers, to look at our analysts and things that we're doing, the license plate readers. I mean, there's just all kinds of stuff that we didn't have back then. The phone technology, you know, my first phone was a bag phone. It was, it was huge.
Yeah.
Then my phone when I was in narcotics was a brick. You can even fit those in your pockets.
Right.
And, you know, so now, matter of fact, I still have the same phone number when I was a detective. I've never changed. I've kept the same number my whole entire career.
Well, you know, when you speak of this agency, I can hear like the love in your voice, right? Not only the passion, but the love for the agency itself. I just find it so noteworthy that you've never let that go, regardless of the ups and downs, because we have ups and downs as our career. It's just the way it is. Life is built that way, right? But I feel that love. Am I correct?
Oh, I'm very much proud to be a member of this agency at any capacity. And I came from recruiting to back to homicide, and that was a great role. I loved being in there, just talking to people and finding out that they're starting their career path and why they want to be there and where they want to be in 5 years. And that in itself was very rewarding. Right. Everything that I've done on this department has been rewarding.
Yeah.
What does coming back to homicide, is that kind of like a full circle moment for you, or does it do anything, or does it make you feel any type of way?
Well, it does, because there are cases that we knew who committed them back then. And I'm looking forward to going back to those, because, you know, people have their own reasons why they don't want to give up information.
Right.
You know, we went through the no snitching, and that is something that has stuck to this day, which is just horrible.
Right.
But people are, you know, people that were 18, 19, 20-year-old that witnessed things back then that wouldn't tell you who did it, and even though we knew who committed those crimes, are now in different stages in their lives. Their parents themselves.
Right.
And so they may be at a different place where they're now willing to come forward and give that information, which will be so a blessing to the families of all of our victims.
So you hold on to optimism, no doubt.
You've got
always
to.
Always have.
You have to be optimistic about this stuff. You can't be negative about
right.
this.
So we've talked about your career. What do you do off duty?
Well, up until this year, I have a 18-year-old daughter who played volleyball.
Yeah.
She's wonderful, by the way,
yes,
for the record.
Yes, she was in the Young Adult Police Commission for three years. Thank goodness she doesn't want to be a police officer. She just doesn't have the temperament for it. It's just not her. And that's okay. It's not for everybody. So she plays volleyball. Virginia Union, go
right.
Panthers.
I was just there, and I just missed her by a hair. But you know who didn't miss her?
Yes.
Chief Drew did not miss that one. I saw the photo. Yeah. I'm a little jealous, Maya.
And she did
saying.
Call me that morning and said that she'd seen him. I said, well, go take a photograph. So I know you're telling the truth. And she did take a photograph with him. So she played travel ball. And so we traveled all up and down the East Coast for the last 5 or 6 years. And now she's off at college. So I do love to cook. Obviously, I love to eat. And I do walk every day. I try to walk between 5 and 7 miles a day.
Wow, nice.
I like to watch almost every sport, except for curling. My daughter would say that's mopping. and unfortunately, I regret to say this, but I started watching General Hospital again. And it's the same characters that was on the show when I was
did
18
you
years
really?
Old. Yes.
Wow. Now, did you start watching it where, did you pick it up today, or did you go all the way back to the beginning?
No, I just picked it up from, I started watching a couple of years ago, and I DVR it every day, so I watch it every day when I get home.
You know my mother's from Italy, right?
Right.
She's had the pleasure of meeting you, but that is how she learned to speak English, was through the game shows, Price is Right, and all of those soap operas. General Hospital, One Day of Our Lives,
Young and
Something
Restless.
Children.
All my children,
Young and Restless. That's how she. Yeah, I couldn't remember. I'm sorry, but that's how she learned to speak it. So
good old daytime TV.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, how are we doing on time, Matt? Are we good?
We're doing great.
We're doing great. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. So let me ask you this, because you were on the board, right? And you helped me throughout my career, actually, because you served as a mentor to me on the road. As a matter of fact, I will tell a story on myself, and maybe you remember this, but we went to, we received a call of gunshots fired, right? And back then we didn't have ShotSpotter, so they gave us a general vicinity, and we went to an address. And it was actually the address where the guy came out on his porch, let off a few rounds. Thank God no one was hit. And then he went back into his house. And we went to that location. It was you, I, and a third officer. And I don't recall who it was. But you were over by the door, and I sensed some movement at a window. So I went over to the window to look inside. And sure enough, there was a guy in there with a .38 revolver, and he was reloading that revolver near a dresser. So I ran over to you in the excitement to tell you that he was armed and try to protect you as you've always protected me on the street. I stood right in front of the door where that guy was going to come out with that handgun. And I remember you grabbed me and threw me so hard to your left to get me out of that door right up against that the wall of the house, the opening. And sure enough, within a millisecond, that guy opened up the door and there he was with the handgun. And luckily we were able to get that handgun from him. But my throat gets a little full when I talk about it because it could have gone really badly for me. So, you know, other than getting me onto the department, you know, that's the person you were. You were always looking out for me. You know, you were protecting me from me, Misty. But that's a story that I want the viewers and the listeners to hear because that's the caliber of patrol officer you were. And you've carried that, you know, throughout your career. And you've always been that person that people can go to for advice. And you give them the real answer. Do you know what I mean when I say that?
Right.
The honest, genuine answer, even when it stings a little bit, to reroute us on the right path.
Well, you have to.
You have to.
You really
so
do.
You've been a very big influence on me.
But I had mentors, too. I mean, and if I didn't say Joe Moore, then I would not be,
sure,
you know, giving credit to my career. He was the kind of mentor that if I didn't know how to fill out a report correctly, even if he was working or wasn't working, I could call him or go by his house because you had to use a quarter to use the payphones back then.
Yeah, we did.
Or I'd go by his house and he would always help me. So, I mean, I had people that lifted me up throughout my whole career. But you have to be honest with people in this, you know, sometimes it hurts. I've had people be blatantly honest with me, but you take those things and you learn from them and you live to see another day.
And you grow.
And
I think it makes
grow.
Us much better.
Your career, you have to keep growing in your career.
I agree with you. So, Melissa, I think it's time to get into the rapid-fire questions. How do you feel? You good?
Yeah.
All right.
The first one I'm really excited about. It's one of my favorite questions.
All right. Here
you
we
ready?
Go.
I don't know.
We'll see. All right.
It's not that bad, I promise.
Okay.
Favorite ice cream?
Chocolate.
Simple.
Are simple. Yours is all complicated.
Mine is
yeah, yours is very
it
complicated.
Is,
yeah.
It is, but yeah. My dad got me.
I like
heavenly
hash. It'd be chocolate with chocolate syrup.
But there's a lot going on in that.
People, when I say that, people look at me like I'm crazy, like they don't know what heavenly hash is.
No, heavenly hash is good.
Thank you.
Definitely.
Finally.
Okay. All right. Favorite season?
I like spring and fall.
Spring and fall.
Right. Not too cold, not too hot.
Okay, but summer, winter. No go?
I mean, I like summer, winter, but, you know, summer, it's too hot around here. Too humid.
Oh, the humidity
and
then, is something
else.
Winter's not bad.
Okay.
So it would go spring, fall, summer, then winter. No, winter, then summer.
As long as you're bundled up during the winter, we can deal with it. Okay.
Seafood, steak, or chicken?
Vegetables. I mean, if I had my choice, I would eat them, but I would prefer the sides.
Fascinating. Huh. So a meal of only sides.
Absolutely.
That sounds like a great
idea. I will cook all, even when I was a vegetarian, I would still cook all the meat for my family, but I would just eat the sides. And I prefer to do that now. Like the other night, I made hamburgers. I didn't eat a hamburger. I ate a soy burger. I'll still eat those.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay. Favorite pro sports team?
I hate to say it, but the Eagles.
The Eagles.
Yeah.
Who did they play recently? Do you remember?
Wasn't it Cincinnati?
Was it Cincinnati? Yeah.
It's not the Steelers.
I don't know what.
I love the Steelers. I'm a child of the '60s and '70s, so we watched the Steelers.
Yeah.
The Raiders were the teams back then.
You remember the Steelers versus the Dallas Cowboys era?
I don't talk about the Cowboys.
Oh, you don't talk about them
ever.
Okay.
Ever. Anybody yeah. but the Cowboys.
Well, my wife is a big Buffalo fan.
I love Buffalo.
She's a big Buffalo fan.
My last sergeant in homicide, Taco Williamson.
And he great guy, mentor. Great guy, yeah.
And whenever Buffalo's playing, I root for them, for Taco.
Yeah.
See
the shirt, yeah.
That's right, that's right, right there. So, all right, we're down to the fifth one. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
What is one item at the top of your bucket list?
Probably a family picture.
Wow. That's really nice, Misty.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, how about you there, Melissa?
I think right now I'm in this travel thing, but I want to travel with my kid. He just hit that early teen age, and he's very self-sufficient. So the travel thing right now, I think we're getting ready to plan a trip.
Yeah. For me, it is actually going on a cruise. I've never been on a cruise ship before.
Oh, you'll love
ever.
It.
And everyone that I meet that has talks about how it's so inclusive.
Yes.
Every like meals, everything.
Everything's
that the time they have a great time. I've never been, believe it or not. And my wife is a little concerned about the water. Not a strong swimmer. Sorry for telling on you, honey. Not the strongest swimmer.
She gonna get
so
you.
She's a little concerned, but you know, a life jacket, I think we'll fix that. I think we'll be okay. So, but yeah, Misty, thanks. I mean, thanks. I know you have a lot to do too, right? You have
Absolutely.
A ton to do, but you still come here to see us. I think that's kind of the theme of your career is selflessness and always giving back, you know, in 10 times what was given to you. And I'm thankful for that. Really are. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So I believe we're on a couple of platforms you might want to talk about.
A couple,
yeah. I tell you, our PIO office is tip top.
All the platforms. Anywhere you get a podcast, you can catch us. Then there's always YouTube and Insta and Facebook and all the above. Make sure you like us on YouTube and come back and see us.
That sounds great. So thanks for joining us, folks. Cheers.
You're